All right, welcome back, folks. Oh, there's so much to take in. Like, all this stuff is all interconnected. It's all intertwined. It's just hard to sort of parse out where the influence is coming from and what the purpose of it is. But just remember that this war in Iran, a bunch of different people want a bunch of different stuff from it. At the end of the day, we can't take our eyes off the fact that all of this and everything that's led up to this point is all in service of an ultimate goal that has to do entirely and 100% with control of humanity and how they get control of humanity. They're willing to try anything. They are sort of, you know, ideologically agnostic about the method by which control is implemented. And if it's climate change and we're saving the world, which is why we need to lock you down, but suddenly they invent data centers and AI is really good at controlling people. So forget all of that. It doesn't matter, right? It was never about climate change, just like it's not about improving your life with AI. It's all about control. And the ultimate goal that they have is not only to have a mark of the beast system in which your submission and you know, willing participation will be a requirement for your continued existence, but that every single thing in the world will be entered into their matrix, entered into their computer program, where they can manipulate the real world in the same way they can manipulate the digital world as they attempt to merge these two things. And on that note, I want to go to this video. It reminds us that as we speak, they are putting in financial instruments to commodify the entire world, including your body and the air that you breathe. Let's watch.
When we talk about capital, we tend to think only about financial capital, about cash, financial assets, but we know that's not the only value on which our economies depend. We know that every aspect of every part of the economy is fundamentally dependent on nature, as you highlighted. The air that we breathe, the water we drink, the soil, the oceans that we need for the food that we need to consume, the minerals that we need as inputs to technology and to infrastructure. And without these forms of value, these forms of natural capital, we won't have economies. They are the fundamental building blocks of our economies. But the ways, as you said, the ways in which we have grown our economies, our models of economic development, have been incredibly successful for global prosperity. I mean, but the unintended consequences of the current models of growth are simply not sustainable on a finite planet. The amount of resource that we are drawing in to our economies, Earth's resources, and the amount of pollution and waste that we're pumping out, whether that's through greenhouse gas emissions, whether that's sewage into our water, whether it's plastics into the ocean, is beyond the Earth's carrying capacity. And we know that that's leading, as you said, to very significant direct impacts for society, but very significant financial costs for the economy. We can look at that as you have and calculate that at a macro level. But the way that that's showing up as we're breaching these boundaries and breaching these limits and undermining nature is showing up in very practical ways that are showing up for financial risk for institutions. Lack of water is leading to disruption of operations, of supply chains where water is needed as an essential input for manufacturing or power production. The degradation of soil is leading to reduced agricultural yields. The decline of pollinator species is also having an impact on agriculture. So that's leading to direct financial risks for organizations, for businesses, and ultimately for investors. And as you said, ultimately the reason for this is at the moment the way that decisions are made on an everyday level within businesses and financial institutions is because we're looking only at financial data, financial metrics that are not factoring in nature. Nature is treated within the economy as though it's unlimited and predominantly as though it's free. And the risks and harms are simply not costed in financial terms. We can cost them at a macro level. They're not costed into day-to-day
decision making. Just like they always do, they're going to pitch their programs as solving some sort of problem that's just arisen out of nowhere. While at the same time, to even implement this stuff, they're building AI data centers that require as much energy as produced by 9 nuclear power plants. They're literally chopping down the rainforest to hold the meeting she's speaking at. They're completely full of crap. Until they say that we have to go to war against China for their fishing fleets, just understand, they don't give a damn about the world. They just want to own it.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up
about it.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
It's okay, guys. It's just a strategy. It's just a strategy, guys. Everybody out there saying that Trump is a madman, it's all part of the plan. Are you trusting the plan yet? Trump's strategy with Iran is, quote, the madman theory, an international law expert explains. Yeah, maybe. I guess there's kind of a thin line between actually being insane and just pretending to be. It's kind of hard to tell one or the other. You know, it kind of reminds me of story of Odysseus. If you've read the Odyssey, you know that basically Odysseus knew that he was going to be summoned for war against Troy. And he had a one-month-old son. He didn't want to go to war. He knew it was going to be a disaster. He's like, I don't want to get drafted for the war. So what did Odysseus do? He pretended to be insane. You guys remember this? He pretends to be insane, and he does things like plows his field by connecting the plow to a donkey and an ox at the same time. Obviously, he's insane, right? I mean, I think I need to tell you, you're yoking both the donkey and an ox to a plow. I mean, that, I don't know. I guess that's what counted for insane in ancient Greece. But he was plowing his field with a donkey and an ox, which was the first sign that he'd gone mental. And then he was, instead of sowing seeds, he was sowing salt. And he was doing all of this for the benefit of the, it must have been King Menelaus, or somebody sent an adjunct to go recruit Odysseus, to go tell him he needed to come fight the Trojans. He wanted to avoid that, so he's pretending to be insane. And what eventually happens is the man who was there to recruit him, like, I don't think this guy's really insane. I think he's pretending. And so what he did was he took one-month-old Telemachus, Odysseus' son, and put him in the path of the plow. Thinking, okay, if he's really insane, then an insane person wouldn't think twice about running over a baby, right? Of course, Odysseus goes around his son, and the guy says, see, I know you're not crazy. You have logic. You have the ability to think clearly when it's something you care about. So in that way, I think Trump has kind of failed the Odysseus test. It's kind of like the madman theory. He's like pretending to be crazy, but then you did the thing that's crazy. Then you actually did it. Then you actually ran over your son with the plow. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't think it's a madman theory anymore. I think he's just crazy. He actually started the war with Iran. So that's the running over of Telemachus. That is the thing that you're not supposed to do if you're not actually insane. It's why we used to read these books. That's why they used to be taught as classics, because there's a lot of, great stories in there that mean a lot when it comes to understanding humanity. But of course, they're old white men, so I guess they have to be replaced by, I don't know, twerking children. That's our cultural, cultural touchstone. But yeah, so he's sort of doing the Odysseus madman theory, only he's actually doing the crazy stuff that you're not supposed to do. He actually did go to war with Iran. So what? Is it a theory or not? And I don't think Iran cares. I think Iran is like, yeah, we know he's crazy. That's why we're doing this. It kind of doesn't matter what Trump says. Like, again, I think Trump is kind of in this media landscape mindset where he's like, I say this stuff and then Iran's going to respond. I don't know if Iran is even listening to him. I think at this point, he says enough stuff that, doesn't mean anything. He says they're negotiating and then he bombs them. He says they're going to bomb them and then he negotiates. It kind of doesn't matter what he says. I don't think Iran is paying attention to what he says. I think they're just doing what they're going to do. I think they're going to defend themselves. I think they're bombing certain places, and that's that. And they're kind of like, okay, he's saying stuff, but doesn't affect the reality on the ground, and that's what they're contending with, so let him talk. So I don't even know how effective this madman theory is being when, A, you actually are kind of insane and doing things that don't make any sense at all, including starting the war in the first place, and B, they're not even listening to him and don't care what he's saying, so it doesn't even matter. But we'll see how, but I don't know, maybe he's going to pull it off. Maybe it's all a big trick. Maybe he's Vincent the Chin Gigante after all. Another mafioso pretending to be insane to avoid his due punishment. Now, another kind of funny thing is Alex put up a video this weekend of America bombing the bridge in Iran and asking the question that I've been asking here on this show. How would you feel? How would we feel if Iran were to blow up the Golden Gate Bridge or some equivalent bridge, the one that we blew up in Iran? Like, how would you feel and how would our government treat that? And it's obviously terrorism. And of course, I've been saying for a while, I think that Iran is not attacking the American homeland because they understand that the war is unpopular and that the way to make it popular in America would be for Iran to attack innocent civilian Americans. Here's the view of the bombing of the bridge in Tehran, just absolute terrorism. Some people try to vaguely justify this by saying, well, it's not a civilian bridge. It's used to transport military equipment. It's like, okay, so is the Golden Gate Bridge. So is every bridge in America. Hell, the interstate system itself was built entirely to transport military equipment. Do you know that? Like, the reason we have I-10, I-20, like, you know, that whole system was created, I think, by Eisenhower, right, after World War II, when they're like, hey, we need a way to be able to transport, you know, people from the West Coast to the East Coast really quickly, and that doesn't exist right now because they're all little routes. That's where you get, like, Route 66. That's what used to exist rather than the interstate system. But they said, hey, we need a interstate system we can trust. Otherwise, you know, what would happen if, you know, there's an attack on the West Coast and we needed equipment from the East Coast and they're traveling down Route 94 or whatever, and it gets to a point where there's a tiny tunnel that you can't fit the equipment through because it's, you know, only graded for small cars or you know, moderate-sized trucks. It's like, no, we need a big, capable, you know, system to get through everything. So it's like, okay, if that's the excuse, well, wouldn't they be perfectly justified in using that exact same excuse to bomb American citizens? And if not, why not? Why not? What would you say if they were to do this? Again, natural law. If you don't know what natural law is, it's the law that everyone understands by nature. It's fair is fair. They started it. These are invocations of natural law. It's playground law. It's something happened, but you started it. It's kind of your fault. You hit me in the face, I get to hit you in the face. Fair is fair, right? That's what we're violating right now, or that's what, you know, Iran would be justified in invoking if they were to start targeting American citizens. Why not? Then a very curious thing happened. Very interesting, bizarre response. Probably the number one response I got, because then I retweeted Alex and I wrote, you know, Iran is probably only not attacking American civilians because they understand that the American public would turn against them at that point. And I had so many people respond saying, no, you idiot. They're not bombing the Golden Gate Bridge because they don't have missiles that can reach that far. You moron, you absolute idiot. How could you not know this? And it's like, do these people think that the only way to bomb something is from the air? Are you morons? What the hell are you talking about? Other people like, well, you know, how would they even do that? How would it be possible to bomb a bridge here in America? It's like, I don't know. The border was wide open for 4 years and literally millions of people could have crossed they did cross. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. There's no reason to think that there aren't Iranian sleeper cells that are here. And you can destroy a bridge with the stuff you can buy at Walmart if you know how to do it. Do people not know this? What destroyed the Murrah building in Oklahoma City? You know what that was? It was a bunch of ammonia from manure. It was cow crap. And it shredded a federal building. You don't think they could do some significant, dare I say, permanent damage to a bridge in the same way? Of course they could. People have a suicidally misinformed level of belief in the American security state. We've had bridges destroyed by accident. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the key bridge in Baltimore was destroyed 2 years ago by an Indian cargo ship that happened to steer a little bit to the left? It's still not rebuilt. It took the whole bridge down. It was one cargo ship going like this rather than like this. It's like that's how vulnerable our infrastructure is to destruction. It would not be all that difficult for Iran to target it. And that's if they want to target the infrastructure itself. If they just want to kill Americans, do you think that would be hard? It would not be hard. Again, I don't want to give them ideas, but it's like, do you remember the Bataclan massacre in Paris? 130 people killed. How? Well, you had like 10 guys lock the doors and start opening fire. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to kill a couple hundred people, actually, if you're motivated to do it. And I think Iran at this point would be pretty motivated to do it if they wanted to tit for tat, just do to us what we are doing to them. I think it's possible. And so again, this bizarre thing where people are like, you dummy, they can't hit us. Their missiles aren't far enough. It's like, is that what I said? Or did I say they would bomb it? That they would do damage to it? That they would target American citizens for terrorism just like we're targeting their citizens for terrorism, and they would be justified in doing so through natural law? Is that me advocating it, saying they should do it? Absolutely not. I'm terrified of them doing it. Do you understand how many soft targets we have in this country that at any moment could become battlegrounds if Iran wanted to do that? I mean, my God. Again, you get people saying, oh, well, are you on the Iran side? It's like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? I don't get it, man. I don't get where the stupidity comes from, y'all. It's not smart. It's not strategic. There's no reason for us to be bombing bridges unless you actually want, like, the only kind of real reason I can guess is maybe they want Iran. Maybe they're trying to provoke Iran for doing that. Maybe they know how unpopular it is and they're desperate for Iran to bomb some big American gathering so that we can, so they can get the justification they need. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions, but so far, nothing makes sense. And nothing makes sense. And I'm telling you, looking into all this stuff, it makes less and less sense the more you look into it. And the statements they make just do not correspond with reality whatsoever. And it's a little bit embarrassing, okay? Let's go to the new video I just put in. I may not let the whole thing play, but this was Trump just before the show started today, before War Room began, detailing the so-called rescue mission that was launched to save the pilot, which again, the pilot gets downed minutes after Trump brags about that never happening and that not being a possibility anymore. So like this whole thing is an embarrassing, you know, revocation, a proof that Trump was lying on his speech on April 1st, which maybe it was a joke. Maybe that whole thing was a joke. Did we miss that part? I mean, he gives this speech on April 1st where he says, we've taken out all of their air defenses. And then it's like two jets get shot down. He's like, April 1st, I got you. April Fool's Day. You suckers thought I really was winning the war. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something. Maybe it was a prank. Maybe he was pranking us the whole time. I don't know. But now, after this weekend, we've got another, series of statements that also have questionable truth values. Let's go to this video again. Trump around 1 p.m. today. Yeah, he's trying to take out the whole country of Iran tomorrow night. So that's very exciting. The golden age. The golden age. You didn't realize it was golden because everything would be glowing in radioactive light. Let's go to Trump explaining the amazing, brilliant rescue mission, shall we?
Yeah, nobody has the military that we have, not even close. We're the most powerful military anywhere in the world by far. The flight crews and warfighters aboard those aircraft took extraordinary risks to rescue their fellow service members. This first wave of search and rescue forces successfully located the pilot of the F-15, and he was extracted from enemy territory by an HH-60 Jolly Green 2 helicopter. Fabulous machine, as our warriors faced gunfire at very close range. It's amazing that when you look at the machinery, what happened, that nobody was even injured. Meanwhile, the second crew member, a weapons system officer,
that's
highly respected colonel.
It's unbelievable that nobody got injured. It's, it's inconceivable. I'm saying I don't believe it. Sorry, back drum. But yeah, truly amazing, unbelievable, right? Incredible. You're right. This report is incredible. Back to Trump.
With terrorists from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, RUF group, as well as besieged militia and local authorities. On top of everything else, they told the communities actually inside of Iran, the people of Iran, they were given a tremendous incentive to find this pilot. Despite the peril, the officer followed his training and climbed into the treacherous mountain terrain and started climbing toward a higher altitude, something they were trained to do in order to evade capture. They want to always go as far away from the site of the shoot down. You want to go as far away because they all head right to that site. You want to be as far away as you can. And he was injured, and he was an amazing, amazing thing. He scaled cliff faces, bleeding rather profusely, treated his own wounds, and contacted American forces to transmit his location. They have a very sophisticated beeper-type apparatus that is on them at all times. And when they go out on these missions, they make sure they have lots of battery space and they're in good shape. And this one worked really well, amazingly, saved his life. We immediately mobilized a massive operation to retrieve him from the mountain holdout, and he kept going higher and higher. The mountain kept getting rougher and rougher, and really very, very hard to find. The second rescue mission involved 155 aircraft, including 4 bombers, 64 fighters, 48 refueling tankers, 13 rescue aircraft, and more. We were bringing them all over, and a lot of it was subterfuge. We wanted to have them think he was in a different location, because they had a vast military force out there. Thousands of people were looking. So we wanted them to look in different areas. So we were scattered all over like we were right on top of them. We had 7 different locations where they thought, and they were very confused. They said, well, wait a minute. They've got groups here. They've got groups there. It's amazing.
All right. Amazing. Incredible stuff. Not credible stuff. Just absolutely awesome. You know, an amazing rescue story, one for the ages. Sounds like a Hollywood movie, which is suspicious. Now, I know a lot of people out there can call me anti-American for not believing this. Here's the thing. It's not without precedent in American media having to do with wars in the Middle East. If we can cast our minds back to the story of Pat Tillman and Jessica Lynch, if you remember these. Do you remember these, the Jessica Lynch story? It was basically entirely fabricated, another, you know, thrilling rescue story in the middle of the Iraq war in that case. It's been well known for several years. The U.S. military outright invented lies regarding literally every aspect of the Jessica Lynch story. And the Tillman family for years has been vocally complaining about the lies they were told by the Pentagon regarding the circumstances surrounding Pat Tillman's death. The pressure on other soldiers to conceal the truth and the crass and disgusting exploitation of these lies to serve the administration's political interest. None of this is new. So why is Congress holding hearings to investigate these matters only now? This was all the way back in 2007. So again, from this 2007 Salon article, the answer is, of course, because the Republicans who controlled the Congress for the last 4 years absolutely suppressed any attempt whatsoever to exert oversight on the administration. They not only investigated nothing, they aggressively blocked every real investigation into allegations of wrongdoing and corruption on the part of the administration. So again, the idea that they might launch a fake story about a rescue mission in the middle of a war to beef up support for the war, not exactly out of the question. There's also a lot to suggest that perhaps this wasn't a straightforward rescue mission, that this entire operation may have been cover for an attempt to extract the uranium. Now, I know I heard Trump, Alex say that he didn't believe that story. I'm sure he has good reasons. I personally was kind of expecting that to be the case in the first place. Maybe there's a little bit of confirmation bias, but I told you on Friday that it looked like the way the bombing was being done and the way that troops were being arranged, it looked like there was going to be an attempt to extract the uranium in sort of a in and out Venezuela style operation, said kidnapping Maduro, we're going to steal the uranium. And then there's a lot of speculation that that's exactly what this really was. Again, I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know if we will know until it's relitigated, like the Jessica Lynch story. Maybe by the next time the Democrats get in charge, they might actually investigate this. I also wouldn't be holding my breath for that to happen. But we've heard Trump lay out what he says happened. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Iran's version of the story. From their national spokesman.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, we have granted you a clear victory. Following the laughable attempts by America's terrorist army to conduct search and rescue operations for their downed fighter pilot, several enemy aircraft entered our beloved nation of Iran on the morning of April 16th, 1405. By God's grace and with the vigilance and readiness of Islam's warriors in our armed forces, using electronic warfare, advanced air defense systems, a ground-based mosaic defense strategy, and establishing a military and security perimeter, several of these aircraft, including two C-130 military transport planes and two Black Hawk helicopters, were struck and forced to make emergency landings in an area south of Isfahan. After our heroic Iranian warriors completed the siege of the enemy, the humiliated foe was forced to heavily bomb their own downed aircraft, equipment, commanders, and soldiers to prevent the disgrace of President Trump and the hollow facade of their army. The ignorant president trapped in the war and aggression he started, and the incompetent, cowardly generals of America's terrorist defeated army have clearly understood that any aggression, ground operation, or infiltration at any point in Iran will be met with decisive and humiliating defeat by the power of divine soldiers. The iron fists of our warriors and armed forces, the heroic Basij, and the brave and courageous nation of this land. The disgrace of the trapped president and America's defeated army cannot be repaired through word games, media warfare, and psychological operations. There is no doubt that all these victories and proud achievements of Iran have been under the special grace and favor of Almighty God, and we are certain that the divine promise will be fulfilled in the final victory of truth over falsehood. And victory comes only from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise.
So there you go. Two competing stories of truth, probably somewhere in the middle. I'll tell you why people think this was a failed operation to seize the uranium on the other side. There is some evidence there. We'll be right back.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high quality private label top selling brand that we were able to private label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner zeolite detox defense. Advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our Methylene Blue, if you love our Bolivine Colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 Iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite Detox Formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our Methylene Red, that's proprietary to us, our Ultramethylene Blue, that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners in the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken Methylene Blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room for today's broadcast. We'll probably move on from Iran here in just a second. I do want to play at least one more video. And again, explain sort of my position in all of this, which is the same as the InfoWars position was all the way back in 2001, 2003. So these wars are not for us. They are against us, even though we're the ones waging them. The ultimate outcome is we are impoverished. We are destroyed overseas. We take in all of the migrants. We suffer. The so-called empire expands, but the way empire is supposed to work is you're supposed to go out and conquer or subjugate other peoples, and then you ingest that wealth into the empire, and it benefits the people of the empire. That never seems to be the case, though. We're the ones standing holding the bag while the elite, and in this case Israel, make off like bandits. They don't have to put in the investment. They do get the dividends. We put in the investment. We're hung out to dry. It's very frustrating. Very obvious to anybody paying attention. And I actually want to go to clip of Tim Dillon saying exactly this. We'll do that in just a second. Just to finish off with the story about the rescued pilot, which I'm very suspicious of. There are a lot of reasons people have to say that this may have been something other than what we are told it was, even though the process that took place was exactly what we predicted, right? You're going to have these flyovers of Iran, mistakenly believing that you have air superiority, something's going to get shot down, you got to go in and rescue the guy. What if the rescuers get shot down? I mean, that's kind of seems like more or less what happened, but somehow we escaped anyway. But there's some inconsistencies. We say we destroyed our C-130s so that they don't fall into Iran's hands. Iran says they destroyed them, and then publish images that appear to show human skulls in the wreckage. As I've said before, the official, you know, images that have come out showing the wreckage of the at least one of these C-130s, it appears as though they crashed because the propellers are bent, which means that the propellers were spinning when they hit the ground. You don't keep the engine on the aircraft that you're trying to destroy, right? And it doesn't even make sense in the first place. You only get those bent propellers in the way they were when the propeller is spinning and it hits the ground, and it hits the ground while spinning and twists and bends the propellers that way. So again, there's a lot of like sort of on the face of it evidence from confirmed photos that show that, okay, not everything Trump said is probably totally aligned with truth. But there may be some wiggle room there. There may be some, you know, reasons why they'd want to say maybe it was overall true, but, you know, the details were fudged a little for national security reasons. I can understand that. But then you've got other things like the fact that according to Iran, and again, I'm just telling you what they're reporting, just like I'll tell you what America is saying. Doesn't mean I believe it. It's another confusing. People get confused by this. Yeah, that is supposedly the picture of the human skull there. Now, we were told nobody was even injured. Kind of hard to believe with the wreckage as you see it. So I don't believe what anybody says about this conflict, not at first blush. It has to actually align with what I know to be true, or what I do have a genuine foundation for believing. Again, I guess that level of nuance escapes people. It's impossible for people to understand how you could say, hey, look, Iran's saying this, Trump's saying this. We should take both of these into account and try to find out what the truth is. Like, they just want you to believe what Trump's saying 100% of the time, even if they themselves will later admit that it wasn't true at all. And we've been through this before. We're right then, we're right now. So, sorry to tell you that. Now, again, the speculation that I'm not saying is absolutely valid. So supposedly Iran found a passport, essentially, which again, it's like, okay, very 9/11-esque. You found the passports of the hijackers in the rubble of the building. Very convenient. In this case, it wasn't a passport in particular. It was like a visa. And it allegedly belonged to an Israeli military defense contractor, which is a little odd. So they posted this image of the visa card showing the passport number of this woman named Moran Sagron, who appears to be an Israeli person. And she's in the Israel Institute of Technology. And while she's not necessarily a nuclear scientist, she would be a mechanical engineer that worked almost exclusively with radiation. According to the statement released by the cyber support front, Maya is responsible for research and development in support of major Israeli defense contractors, including Elbit Systems and Rafael, which acts as the technical and industrial arms of the Zionist regime's defense ministry. The pro-resistance hacktivist group behind the operation said that during the course of the cyber attack, it also identified network data from several other defense ministry-linked firms that operate under the guise of civilian industries. The spokesperson for the cyber support front also revealed that the attackers gained access to documents and designs showing the Zionist regime's plans to develop and manufacture new military equipment. And again, all of this is related to this image that was put out claiming to be a document found in or around the wreckage. And it's a visa to the United States of America for a woman named Moran Sagron, an Israeli mechanical engineer. So if she was really there, or if this document was really found there, that would suggest that maybe this was something other than a rescue mission, because why else would you need a mechanical engineer with radiation expertise if that's all you're doing? Again, the location of this near Isfahan, again, hints that maybe this wasn't a strict rescue mission and a rescue mission alone. The number of people, vehicles, aircraft that were deployed to carry this out, again, maybe a little suspicious, as people are pointing out. Which, again, you know, I can make the argument and I can sort of defeat the argument at the same time, right? That if you're doing a rescue mission, maybe it would be the best thing, just like a fast-flying, low-flying helicopter, get in, scoop them up, get out. You're saving one person. What more could you need? It's kind of true. At the same time, if you do that and the helicopter gets taken out, now you've got the helicopter and the people in the helicopter and the pilot now missing. What do? You send another helicopter, they get taken out. Maybe you go in with overwhelming force, knowing that a single helicopter would come under fire. Maybe you need some defense there, you know, to get you across. Again, this is all speculation because the story that we've actually heard, yeah, maybe it's true. But the Iran sell a different story seems a little bit almost more believable in some ways. And they have a history of telling the truth about this conflict, where the Trump administration has a history of lying about this conflict. And that's important and a reasonable thing to add to your interpretation of events. Because we're human beings and we operate on pattern recognition. And when one group of people lies to you over and over and over again, it's not some sign of bias that you value their contribution a little bit less than the people that have been saying things that are verifiable, as I've seen personally. But hey, say whatever you want. Now, meanwhile, from the Clash report, they have satellite photos showing about 28 craters blasted into roads in Iran's Isfahan province, where the downed U.S. airman was rescued. The craters, each about 9 meters wide, appear to place a line to deliberately cut off road access. Now, Simo Sad on X, who's a good follow, says, "This settles it for me. This is the exact same attack pattern used by Israel to insert forces into Masyaf underground weapon facility in Syria. They tried to repeat it in Iran and got absolutely annihilated. This is the greatest defeat the U.S. has faced in all of its history." Again, all speculation, but what he's pointing out was, if this is true from the Clash report about the satellite photos showing the sort of very distinct pattern of bombing in the road, and if that bombing pattern directly corresponds to and matches the bombing pattern that Israel used when they were infiltrating another weapon, you know, top secret location in Syria, again, I would think that maybe that would mean something. Man, it's a little piece of evidence that this may have been more than initially let on. And again, we say that because we were guessing that was going to be the case last Friday anyway. Now, just like I received a lot of, and there's other stuff as well, but I don't know how valuable it is. I will show you clip 33 here, because last week we showed you videos of the Iranian tribesmen actually using their rifles to fire at American helicopters. Well, the guys in that video, the guys who actually shot and possibly brought down Black Hawk helicopters going to Iran, went on Iranian TV to tell the story about what it was like. And this is just absolutely fascinating and a very interesting, you know, corollary. Could you imagine if America was coming under attack like this from a more powerful foe and seeing a good old boy redneck, you know, taking down Russian helicopters and then going on TV? It's pretty interesting stuff. Let's go to clip 33 now. I'll read along. He says, "American planes and helicopters came into our land and the governor gave us the green light to fire. And these fighter jets make weird sounds whenever they come to hit Tehran or Isfahan or whatever. There's this sound. We see them sometimes. Sometimes we don't see them. We hear the sound really close. We came outside and we saw two helicopters coming out from that village. The jets came in really low, even lower than the helicopters. They were banking up like this, going up. He says, I loaded my gun. One of them was up higher than the jets. When they came a bit lower, I fired two shots at it, and I saw one of them coming really low. I did nothing until the next one. Then we fired toward the window. Right where you could see the pilot, I shot twice at the cockpit and twice at the cargo so it would blow up. I fired four shots at the other one, too. Did they see you? They ask. I actually told my family to stay inside, to get some distance from the house so that if they targeted me, I would get hit, but they wouldn't shoot at the kids. I swear, I told the kids not to come. After I fired a few shots, I heard her yelling, Dad, shoot. She was shouting, shoot, Dad, it didn't come down, shoot more. They asked the little girl, you were saying shoot it down, why? And she says, for the little martyr girls of Minab, for our dear leader, to destroy the enemies, America and Israel. Have you watched the news recently? Yes. And why do you think they are the enemies and should be shot at? Because they're child killers, she says. So again, you know, strap me down to a lie detector test, put a gun to my head, ask me whose side I'm on. I'm on the side of the American pilot, obviously, right? He's American like me. Maybe it's somebody I know. Hell, we don't know who it was. If they lived or died, I mean, we're not being told that information. But obviously, I'm going to have more in common with and, you know, be brothers with somebody who's American over there in American uniform, ostensibly fighting for us. But I think they've been betrayed. And I think our enemies sent them to die in Iran. And I feel and I empathize for the farmer out there that feels that his country is under attack, because it is, to his little daughter who says she wants revenge for the little girls killed in the school, because I bet she does. I don't think they're lying. I think they're being completely honest. And I think it's troublesome that we are now in the position where we are basically making heroes of the people of Iran that are fighting against us. It's totally our fault. This shouldn't be the case. And when you hear those people talk, does it sound like they want Iran bombed to hell? Does it sound like they're desperate to be freed from their supreme leader? Or does it sound like they're very much on the side of their government, and increasingly so, as America continues to abuse, harass, and kill them? So you have to take this into account. And Trump said in the video we played earlier today, they're animals. These people are animals. They don't basically deserve consideration. That's the type of mindset that ends a country. If you're actually acting like these people are animals, can't be reasoned with, can't be predicted, then you're really worse than animals. Now, you're like a demon or something. I don't know what to tell you, because these are human beings and you have to treat them like human beings. If you want anything that you do to succeed, this should be obvious, but apparently it's not. I'll go to clip four here in just a second. That's Tim Dillon being very astute and funny about this, but I thought this was an interesting post from Gen X Girl 1994 on X. She says, this is the best response I've seen to Zionist Sean McGuire's post. Sean McGuire asks, how did we get to the point where so many Americans are rooting against America? Which again, it's like, let me just read the response. But this is just what I was just saying. Like, I am on the side of that pilot. I'm on the side of the helicopter pilot being fired at. I'm not on the side of the Iranian goat herder, right? Are you kidding me? That being said, I don't think that American should have ever been there. And I hate the people that sent him there, not the people that were defending themselves against foreign encroachment. Because I would defend myself against foreign encroachment. And I would honor any Texas cowboy who went out and started shooting at foreign helicopters that were trying to bomb Houston, right? It's like, of course, they're human beings. Because that's the way that I would act. And I don't bemoan them reacting in the same way. I recognize that it's the situation that's evil. So Nick Szabo on X responds to this idea that Americans are rooting against America because they don't hate Iran and want it terrorized. He says, the opponents of this war are rooting for Americans. The war's fanatical Zionist perpetrators are destroying America, severely degrading our weapons stockpiles, expending money we don't have, wrecking our alliances, killing increasing numbers of our soldiers, raising prices, killing jobs. This war is damaging our country, both abroad and here at home, because the Zionist fanatics who started this war and are continuing this war love Israel and hate their fellow Americans. They care less about the damage they're doing to the U.S. as long as they can stay protected, as long as they can protect the only country they're loyal to, Israel. Zionists are at every level of their treacherous souls rooting against America and indeed succeeding in damaging America for the sake of a foreign country that they love. So I don't know what their motivation is. Seems like a valid one to me. I again just ask you, who is the more likely to approve of something that damages America? Somebody who is fully American to their great, 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 great grandfather, or somebody who literally waves an Israeli flag around? I'm just, if you can't ascertain who's got the ulterior motive here, then you're the reason everything sucks. Then you're the reason, I hate to say it, that everything is being destroyed, because you have to have better discernment than that. Okay, let's go to Tim Dillon talking about this, about the betrayal that Trump supporters are feeling these days, the sheer disrespect that Trump is expressing to his beloved voters. Let's watch.
This is the greatest con in history. to run as an America first and you're going to take care of America and then turn around and go, you know, all of these things, daycare, Medicare, Medicaid, we have nothing to do with that. We're fighting wars. That's what we're here to do. We're here to have a defense budget of $1.5 trillion, and we're here to fight wars. It is the greatest scam in history. You got to hand it to him. And I mean, truly, and not, in, you know, again, not in like a, not in a moral way, but like you got to hand it to him. This is the greatest about face in political history that I have really ever seen. It is the greatest scam. It has taken in people. I believe J.D. Vance, when he came on my show and said, we want to stay out of Middle Eastern wars, Donald Trump's first term did not have real, I mean, he killed Qasem Soleimani. I'm mispronouncing that, whatever. But he was not running all over the world and doing this. There's a lot of things about Trump's first term to criticize, but he was not doing this. So this is surprising to a lot of people. And by the way, it's surprising to me. And it's, there's a lot of people, and I know no one, everyone's going to act like they're not surprised. I knew he was going to invade Iran. Nick Fuentes did. He's like the only one that did. So that kid is the only one who really called that this guy was going to go into Iran. If you had said to me, is this guy going to launch a preemptive war in Iran? I would have said no. I remember being on the phone with Barry Weiss the day he won. I was in Miami and I was on the beach and I called her and we chatted briefly and it was just a very nice conversation. I said, what's this guy going to do? And she said, I think he's going to get rid of the DEI shit, which we all thought was stupid. And, you know, he's going to get rid of the DEI stuff and he's going to like, you know, like restore sanity to a lot of like Biden era DEI, like that is totally like, you know, was pushing everyone in this country to the political extremes. And he was going to get the economy going and he was going to try to tackle inflation to some degree. And he was going to, this is, was the thought. And I mean, now Barry might've known that there was another plan. She didn't share it with me. She might have known, and I was sitting there in Miami on the phone going, well, yeah, if he does that stuff, great. I said to her, I said, what do you think about gay marriage or this or that? She goes, no, I don't think he's going to, like, I don't think he's going to roll back a lot of that stuff. I think he's going to go after the economy. He's going to go after the DEI stuff. He's probably going to pull a lot of the money out of Ukraine and cut some deal. And she said, you know, he's going to, he supports Israel. He's going to support Israel. And I said, okay, I, you know, at that point I was, you know, that was kind of expected. And I said to her, I was like, you think he's going to get a deal done in the Middle East? And she goes, yeah, because that's what he campaigned on. We get a deal done in the Middle East. But I did not think truly that somehow he was going to launch a preemptive war in Iran. And then I didn't think we would be kind of losing it. Like, so, like, by the way, drag me all you want, like, for not being omniscient or not being clairvoyant. I had no idea. I had no clue that Iran was going to be able to blow military bases off the earth and we weren't going to defend them. I didn't know that our Gulf allies were going to get attacked and we weren't really going to be able to do that much about it. I had no idea that this was going to go this poor. Even his detractors were like, well, the economy's pretty good. We're not in wars. He governed kind of like a 90s liberal his first term. There was no, I mean, he did the Muslim ban. It was sloppy. It was reversed immediately. There was demagoguery of issues, but he wasn't like this psychopath that people had feared where it was like, we're going to be in a world war. This term is making up for that. This term, he's really like feeling himself. It's like, you know, somebody goes away in school and they get hot over the summer and then they come in, they got a whole new attitude. And you're like, what happened to my friend? And now they're like, now I'm treating you like shit. I got hot. Somebody leaves, your little chubby friend leaves school, they come back and get hot, and they don't want to sit with you anymore, and they don't give a fuck about you. In fact, they want to invade Iran.
There's Tim Dillon expressing, I think a lot of us feel. I think a lot of us feel this way. This new IRGC cruise missiles have struck the Jubal petrochemical complex in Saudi Arabia, triggering massive fires and explosions. The Islamic Republic has already warned major infrastructure, including Jubal, would be targeted. All right. So again, I mean, where do we think this goes? I mean, is there anybody now even making the argument, as absurd as it would be, that this is in any way beneficial to us, that this ends in any preferable situation than the world existed in before we entered into this war? As far as I can tell right now, it's simply a matter of trying to minimize the negative damage, but we're in a trap. We're in a Chinese finger trap here because they want to stay in to make this worth it, to make all of everything that's happened seem like it was in pursuit of a higher achievable goal. But the longer we stay in, the worse everything gets. There's already dramatic and existential fuel crises in places like Australia. And you've got farmers not sure if they're going to have the fuel or the fertilizer to plant the food or the fuel to harvest it in 6 months. And because we've listened to the climate change agenda for the last several decades, they don't even have the infrastructure to get the fuel even if they wanted to. It's all been deliberately shut down because all of this is in pursuit of the same goal, the massive depopulation of the planet and the installation of a global government seat in Israel that will rule the rest of the world by force. It's Iran today. It's all of us tomorrow. And that's why we have to fight against this with everything we've got. We will continue to do that. I hope that you continue to support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting a free gift in all orders today. And there's new 1776 limited edition InfoWars t-shirts and hats. The new collection is out now and on sale. And it may be your last time to purchase InfoWars materiel. So go purchase it now, save it away, sell it on eBay for 50 years for a giant profit, or wear it around your town and red pill new people. Whatever you do with it, we thank you for supporting us. And we have pledged ourselves in this life or death mission to rescue the planet from the insane warmongers that are trying to drive us towards the apocalypse and total hell. And all we ask these is that you support us in this mission by supplying us the money we need to wage this war at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself a fantastic product. Support us. Save the world. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.